You know, there's a reason for cautionary tales.
Then why don't more people heed their warnings?
I don't know. But after they hear my new show, they will think twice.
Oh yeah? About what?
Eating Tide Pods, playing with Ouija boards, talking to Karens, you name it. If you should heed caution, we're talking about it.
Check out Harper's brand new podcast, Cautionary Tales with Harper. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you download podcasts.
And be sure to press subscribe and give us a review.
Cautionary Tales with Harper.
Subscribe wherever you download podcasts today.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, when charged with the responsibility of house-sitting for their grandparents, one person discovers just how haunted their home really is.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yep, and 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. Love to hear from you. And if you like the show, you want to keep us on the air, well, consider becoming an EPP, extra podcast person is what we call them. Go to ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. $5 a month gets you access to all of our bonus episodes. New ones every single week for you. Access to the archive of more than 300. You also get our advanced episodes commercial free, our ebook, our audio book, tons of extras immediately for you when you sign up there at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. You want to get to even more, do the annual membership and get 1 month free. So check that out, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. It's Tony and Carol Hughes today on Real Ghost Stories Online. And how are you this fine day?
Well, I don't know. I mean, because we were just talking about things that are going on right now.
Yeah.
But by the time this airs, I don't know how I'll be.
I don't know either. November 11th is what I have. So around here is when it's airing, and you'll be listening to it around that time, maybe. If it's
so right
new.
Now, we don't know who the president is.
We don't. It's being recorded on October 26th. And yeah, so we have no idea. We have no idea what the reaction is to whatever the decision was. We don't even know if, you know, by now we even know the decision, quite honestly.
Oh my gosh, we might not even know.
We still may be not knowing. So that has happened before. So I guess we'll stick with talking about what we know tonight. Dead people and ghosts. So,
because dead people, that, you know, really, honestly, it's just a lot more uplifting.
It is.
Than politics.
It's that uplifting, feel good talk that just makes you want to enjoy your day on Dead 101.5. Only the best dead artists. I always had this envisioned thought of creating a station called WRIP. And all you play are artists who are dead. And, you know, every week.
Again, it's super morbid, but it's like, kind of super fun.
It'd be great. And like, you know, like this week we welcome, you know, Paul Anka or whoever died. And then it's, you know, it's this weird eclectic mix of everything. You know, you keep your bounds from so many years back, but yeah, just this eclectic mix of anybody who's dead. And
well, and it could be like the super, super dead. And then you play like Bach and Chopin. They are so dead hour.
Instead of a flashback, it's a super dead.
Like this person died last century.
I swear to God, if there wasn't all the issues with like BMI licensing for playing music and streaming and shit, I'd do it. And I know there's like services that like allow it, but I got too much shit on my plate already. But if there were no rules,
yeah, and I should do it then.
It'd be great. It would just be so funny. I'd voice track it. I'd be saying all different. It'd be so funny. Anyway, maybe someday.
And then it's like, you know, you could like do the kind of Elvis story of how he died.
Yeah.
You know, or like this person almost died.
Yeah.
You know, by an OD, but didn't, but then did. You know, it could be, but it'd be super dark yet kind of fun at the same time.
Have it like, you know, like up the intros to the songs. It's the artists themselves coming through on like ghost boxes. It's like, I am Elvis. You're listening to WRIP, you know, because it's just all the technology. It'll be great. It's like, oh great. We got new Elvis drops this week.
Funny.
I think someday, some way, somehow it'll be great. 855-853-4802
is here's Halloween show.
Yeah, WRIP. Again, BMI licensing. We can't do it. Otherwise, I'd be doing it all the time. I'd have like an hour a week just dedicated. Let's go to our first letter here at Real Ghost Stories Online. It says, good evening. I'm a huge fan. I listen to you every day at work. So this is a story that involves my grandparents' house. The house was always known to be haunted by my great-grandparents. Lots of things would happen to my grandmother, like being tapped on the shoulder while doing dishes, and the TV turning on by itself all the time. Footsteps upstairs and she was alone. My aunt had told me that her grandmother did not like her that much, once felt someone push her down the stairs. It's been the smell of my great-grandfather's pipe smoke. Once while I was there visiting with my brother and nephew, who were sitting in the living room, my four-year-old nephew would not get off my brother's lap. We told him, why don't you go and play? And he said, I'm scared of the man with the hate standing by the stairs. The stairs are right across from him. Not only is it haunted by them, but also by my grandparents' dog named Spooky. You could always hear his dog tags as though they were walking through the house. My grandmother had a harp that would randomly start making a noise like it was trying to be played. There's so many experiences I could tell you about their house, but the story that really stuck with me was one that my mother had told me. So my grandparents were gone on vacation and asked my mom to stop and check on the house while they were gone to make sure it was all right and to bring in the mail. One of the times she went to check in, my uncle was outside washing his car in the driveway. She got the mail and went into the house to check on things. My grandparents had been gone a few days already, and when my mom approached the bottom of the staircase, she could smell perfume. She decided to check upstairs as she got to the top of the stairs. She smelt it even stronger, so she went in the front bedroom, where it was the strongest. Nothing out of place, no perfume bottles, all four she found out. Later, my grandmother didn't own any perfume. She left the house as she went outside. My uncle was pale as a ghost and wouldn't talk to my mother. A week later, he finally came to her and said, that day you went in the back of the house to check on it, I saw the ghost of our great-grandmother looking out the front window. The same room, she smelled the perfume the strongest. After my grandmother died, all the activities stopped. My aunt always told me that she felt they were always just waiting for her to be able to move on. I have many more experiences and family true stories to tell. Everyone be safe, and I look forward to hearing it on the podcast. Thoughts on all of that?
There's a lot.
Yes.
But I was thinking, I don't know if I would find it comforting or if it would scare the crap out of me if I saw, like, actually saw my grandmother. You know, or somebody I was related to after they had passed, mm-hmm. like, really saw them.
I think I'd need a moment.
I had that feeling them is different than actually seeing them.
Sure.
That would scare me.
Yeah.
And then anytime a kid says that he's scared of the man with hate.
Yeah.
You listen to that kid because that kid is seeing something.
It's scary. I mean, that energy, that imprint still lingers in that house, and it makes you wonder, you know, what was life like when these people were around, you know, because we always talk about, you know, in death, you know, a lot of times people are not that different than they were in life, unless there's some sort of revelation at the last moment there. So it makes you wonder about what all went on, you know, in the house and everything, too. If you're saying a man with hate is over there, I can't imagine he was the most pleasant man to be around when he was actually residing in the home as a living being.
Oh, not at all. You know, and for a four-year-old, I think he said four.
Yeah.
But for a four-year-old kid to say that, like, you know, that had to have been pretty intense.
Yeah.
For that little boy to pick up on it's a man with hate.
Yeah, I think that kid knows what's going on.
That would totally freak me out.
Very creepy story. Thank you so much for sharing that one. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's jump over to a caller. Hi.
Hey, guys. My name is Alex, announcer from Texas. Just a quick little tidbit before I get into my story. I've been listening to this show since I was in 10th grade, and I just turned 23 this year, so I just think it's cool that you guys are still, like, on the air and stuff, and it's really cool to, like, still be able to listen to, like, new episodes and stuff. So I just wanted to thank you all for staying on the air. But anyway, so my story is not, like, too crazy or anything. It's just more, like, weird, and I'm not sure, like, what it is or what it could be or anything. So I'm hoping maybe y'all could give me an insight or, like, an explanation or whatever. But so ever since I was a little kid, like, I would see things and, like, hear things and sometimes feel things, and I thought maybe it was just my imagination, because, you know, kids have imaginary friends, and, like, just I had a really active imagination, so I thought maybe it was just that. But now that I've really, like, thought about it and heard other people's stories, and they're kind of similar, I guess I wanted to share mine too. The earliest thing I can remember is when I was around, I would say, 6 years old. I lived on my grandparents' property. They have a big plot of land in San Antonio. So I lived here when my parents got a house on the property, and so did my tía and my tío. So I would play with my cousins all the time outside, and, like, while my tía's house was being built, and I actually live in it now, so it's funny to think about it, but when it was being built, it was split into two because it's a mobile home. So when we were kids, we were idiots, and, like, we were being bad, we would, like, jump in between the two parts of the house, which is really, really dangerous because there's, like, these really big, like, iron spikes that, I guess, hold the house together or something. I don't know. I don't know anything about construction, but, yeah, so we would jump in between the gaps, and one time I slipped, and I only remember this really vividly. I don't remember any other time, but I knew we did it a lot, but I only remember this one time because I slipped and I was falling, and I was going out. If I would have completely fell, I would have landed face first into the spikes, and it probably would have maybe killed me. If not killed me, definitely would have done some, like, really permanent damage. And my cousins were on the other side of the house, so they didn't see me because I was trying to catch up. I was the shortest one, so I was always, I guess, the slowest or whatever, but they were on the other side, so nobody was around me. I was alone, but something stopped me. Like, I swear, like, I didn't hold on to the ledge or anything because I was already too far gone, I guess, but something grabbed me and shoved me back. Like, I got pushed back. Not too hard, but just enough to where I kind of flew back and fell on my butt. I just sat there and I was like, well, that's weird. Like, because I was just falling. There was no way for me to be able to push myself back. My feet were already, like, slanted or I had slipped. So there's just no way for me to get pushed back. So that was really weird. And another memory I have is when we moved out of the property and moving into my current parents' house, the other side of town. We were looking at the house, and I was standing in what would be the game room or my dad's room, and I would look across the hall into what would be my room, and I would see, like, these little, like, black shadow heads, like, popping out of the door frame. Like, if I wouldn't see a full body, or even half a body or a chest, like, I would just see, like, what would be a head and the neck, and they would, like, pop in and out, kind of like Pablo's a weasel, like, pop in and out of the door frame. And I remember, like, crying and screaming, and my cousin was like, what's wrong with you? Like, there's nothing there. But I would just keep telling him, like, what is that? Like, what's that? And was like, and when we moved in, I would be playing the Super Nintendo in my dad's room, and I would peek over and I would see like the heads popping in and out. And from what we knew, like, there was no bad history of the house. Like, the previous owners had passed because they were just old, and the guy was like a World War II veteran or something. So he had passed, but they weren't bad people. And I never felt any like negative energy in that house. And neither did my dad, because he usually like, he's able to like feel when there's like evil and stuff like that. He never felt anything. So I never understood what that was, unless it was just my imagination, but it used to scare me a lot. And the last like serious thing I remember, it was in middle school. I was still living in that house. My friends and I were being dumb, and we made a Ouija board out of my notebook, and we weren't taking it serious. And I know that's a really bad thing to do, but we were stupid teenagers. I was like 13 or 14 at the time. We were almost not making a mockery of it, but we were joking around too much and not taking it serious enough or taking any like precautions or anything. And we didn't say goodbye either. And I started like I was trying to be an edgy teen, because I was like really into like death metal, like heavy metal. So I wanted to like follow the crowd and be edgy. So I bought a pentagram necklace, and I would wear it all the time. Even though my family's Catholic, I think I did it just to like make them mad, you know, the angsty teen. But anyway, I would wear a pentagram necklace, and I also had like a kind of like a ring keychain thing. So I would wear that all the time. And so we did the Ouija board while I was wearing that stuff. And I guess I manifested this negative energy, because I have really severe depression. So I was always super negative, and I was really suicidal at the time. So I guess I had all this negative energy around me, and it just manifested into something maybe, or it attracted something. I'm not quite sure. I went back home, and usually my mom would come into my room at night to put away our clothes, because she would do all our laundry. I mean, it was just me and my dad and her, but she would do the laundry and come in at night and put the clothes away or whatever. So I was used to hearing somebody moving around in my room at least one point in the night. During the week. And so I heard a noise, and I was like, oh, it's just my mom. But I didn't hear the drawers open. I was like, that's kind of weird. Maybe she just put them on top of the dresser so I could put them away or whatever. But so I looked, I opened my eyes, and there was somebody standing there, and it wasn't my mom. It was like a little girl, or maybe a small woman, but I'm assuming it was a girl. And she was dressed in all white. I know that sounds cliche, but she was like all white with long black hair. And I know I wasn't in like a sleep paralysis. I was just scared, and I couldn't move. I couldn't move if I wanted to, but I didn't, because I was, I guess, paralyzed with fear. But I just like stared at her, and I was like, what the hell? And I was like going to speak, and then she like opened her mouth, and it was like a screeching, like a really loud screeching noise, like kind of like the noise you get with the bad interference on the phone, that weird screeching sound. It was like that, and it hurt so much, and I think I passed out from the fear. So that was one time, and things like that would keep happening. Like things would move around, or when my friend was over, the one I did the dumb stuff with, we were in the kitchen eating. My parents had, they went out, you know, they would to the club or something. They were just having like a date night, so they let me have my friend over, so I wasn't alone. And we were eating in the living room, and I heard like a slam, and I looked through the hallway, and my door like slammed shut. And there's no way that would have happened with the force that it slammed. So that scared the crap out of us. We were like, what the hell are we gonna do? And then the hallway door shut, and I was like, oh no. So I opened it, looked through the hallway. Nothing was in there, of course. Went into my room. The lights were off, and I always had a nightlight on because I had a rabbit, and he liked the nightlight on. He didn't like to be in the darkness, so his nightlight was off, and I never left it off. The light bulb was fine because I was able to switch it back on with no problem. So things like that would keep happening, and then I finally was like, you know, maybe it's this or something, because I was raised in a Catholic family, so you know I had that. you know, it's evil or demonic, even though nothing to do with Satan, but still. I got this necklace and all the other, like, little edgy pentagram stuff that I had, whatever. And I chunked them into the street. And once I did that, everything stopped. No more activity. I wasn't, like, uneasy or nothing happened again. So, I don't know. And I would still see the shadow heads, like, every now and then throughout my teenage life. And I think I also saw a shadow person a couple years ago as an adult. So, I don't know. Quite sure, like, what that is. Unless I am just, like, imagining things. But, yeah. It's going to be great. And, guys, thank you. And I love your show. And I hope you stay on the air for many more years to come. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for calling in and sharing that story. Wow, it kind of makes, like, the show feel old now that we have that perspective from someone. But it's true. I mean, it's almost like eight years.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought that was really awesome.
Yeah, that is. That's really cool. It just seems like yesterday. So thoughts on the story?
Well, there was once again a lot going on.
A lot to unpack.
But it's interesting to me, like, you know, so many teenagers go through really dark periods and will do like that buying the pentagrams and stuff.
Sure.
You know, they go through that. But I thought it was very interesting. Like, once he threw all that out, then it stopped.
How instant?
It was a little bit.
I was really surprised how fast it stopped. I mean, maybe he just, you know, he didn't get into it to the level that some do, where it, you know, it really does get to be, you know, pretty, you know, hard to rid yourself of. He was more so on the, you know, the skin deep level, where it's just kind of, well, you know, we're trying this out, and it not, you know, not a serious, you know, Satan worshiper, but just kind of wearing the jacket for now. And right. Had it gone deeper, maybe it would have been a lot more difficult to get some of that stuff to go. But it's like, you know, things are starting to smolder, if you will, with that fire. But it didn't never really made it to the, you know, blazing fire level.
But do you think that there has to be a little bit more going on anyway? Because, or like, could just some random person go, you know, I want to be cool, and so I'm going to, like, start wearing this. And,
you know,
and like, I don't know, like the average person, that probably wouldn't happen to them.
I think when it comes to that,
I mean, he saw a little girl in white that screamed and he passed out from fear.
Yeah.
Lord.
I think there's some, it probably actually not so much has to do. I mean, if the person is just really kind of doing that on a superficial level, eventually could stuff, you know, start picking up. Sure. But I think, honestly, when you're surrounding yourself with symbolism and things of that nature, of such a dark nature, and you have objects and relics of things, I mean, it really depends, I think, where you're getting your stuff more than anything else. If it's something that was just manufactured in a factory and hasn't really touched anybody's hands, hasn't been involved in anything, and you bought it at Spencer's in the mall, right. You know, I think you're probably pretty safe. But if you bought it, you know, resale at the pawn shop or something, you know, it could have been involved in some dark shit, possibly, or it could have just been somebody else's Spencer's, you know, Satan medal. But you're running that risk.
Do you think, too, that, you know, when you're a teenager, I think, you know I definitely went through some really dark years when I was a teenager, but like, you know, when you're talking depression and suicidal thoughts and all of those things, like, there's so much darkness around you anyway.
Yeah.
That I wonder if maybe there's a way when you're kind of messing around with that stuff, you open the door. Like, maybe that stuff was already there, but you were able to kind of have the doors closed to it.
I think what you essentially do when you start putting that stuff on, you're messing around with it, you don't really know what you're doing, you're taking the door away, and your door is now kind of like a beaded entryway. So there's still a blockade there, but it's just a beaded door. And
but it looks awesome.
It looks awesome. And you're like, shit, I like that beaded door better than that old door. Let's stick with this beaded door. can I puff on that too? You know, and everything's good. But I think at the same time, you've thinned that veil of what can come and go, because it's essentially you have a big sign in your front yard that says, "Hey, I support Satan," or whatever. You know, it's like that's just what it's going to look like. There's so many jokes I want to make right now, but I will refrain. Because God knows what the hell's going on the 11th of November.
All right. We don't know.
We don't know. We just don't know. So.
And the fact that there's still some things that happen,
yeah.
I think that's pretty normal for someone who's ever had an experience. I think it'd be more abnormal if you had some experiences and then they just stop for the rest of your life.
I do too.
I think once you've kind of are open to that, or not even that you're open to that, that they can kind of get through to you.
Yeah.
In some way, whether you want it to happen or not. I think that's pretty common.
Mm-hmm. I do too. It sounds like he understands, you know, there's ways you can protect yourself and things of that nature. So he sounds far more aware than the average.
That dark shit.
Yeah. And the fact that he's been listening to our show now since 10th grade.
Sophomore.
Yeah. I think he probably knows far more than the most, maybe more than me, cause I forget most shit. It's true. I mean, when it comes to this show, there's so many people that can like tell me more about my own show than I can, because it's like, I kind of remember that story, but I can't like recite some of these stories the way people can. Sometimes people tell them better than I ever told them. And it's like, oh, you said this one 7 years ago. Really? That sounds like a great story. We should have that on the air sometime. It's like a future view of me at the old folks' home where it's pudding night. The pudding's going to be great tonight. We just had it, Tony. Oh, we did, didn't we? That was great. Yeah. So that's going to work. Although I have been joking lately, very morbidly, in a lot of videos I've been posting online, because our new studio is coming together outside. Now we're not having an outside studio, like literally around a campfire, but it's a building. And the interior was finished today, as far as the walls and the ceiling and the trim and all that. Electric's going to be out there tomorrow. And then I'm like on fast track to start moving shit out of this studio and getting that one set up. But I've been joking saying my kids are going to find me dead out here someday, comma, when I'm really old. But you have to, make sure you get that sentence as a whole, so it doesn't just sound like my kids are going to find me dead out here someday.
When I'm really old.
Yeah, when I'm really old. But the joke is like, hey, where's Grandpa? And it's like, oh, he's out there. He was enjoying another one of those Freddy's burgers, and he hasn't been in for 3 hours. And it's like, oh, shit. Yeah, there you go. The caloric intake finally got to me. And speaking of which, I'm not associating this man's death with caloric intake, because he hit 95. But
when you said Freddy, yeah, I was like, oh, I know. That got me in the heart.
But Freddy, if you are in certain parts of the country, there's a place called Freddy's Frozen Custard, and started in Wichita and has now spread all over the place. One, in my opinion, the best fast food burger around. It beats In-N-Out any day, in my opinion, and great frozen custard. But Freddie is a real person, and he passed away just, I believe, today or yesterday the news came out.
Today.
And
I saw it. The breaking news was today. He lived here.
And great, super humble, nice guy. You and me have met him many times when he would come into our radio station when Freddy's was new and just a few locations in Wichita. And he was trying to get us to talk about his burgers, and just really nice man, served his country. And if you ever get to one of those locations, they're not paying for an ad here, but do check them out.
And they have great food. Yeah. And I mean, he was just a really... really good person.
Yeah.
And so when I saw that today, that just really got me in the heart.
Yeah. And just the persona.
He lived a full life. I think, that's what everyone wants, mm-hmm. is to live a full life and leave your mark on the world. And
he did.
Make a difference. He did that.
He did more than once. He was in the war, and he then he has created this amazing business. I mean, the American dream there, and it turned into a great, great restaurant, and he will be missed. Freddie of Freddy's Frozen Custard. And there's a lot of people going, oh, I didn't know that. But yeah, great place. Check it out if you're ever driving around. You see one in some city or state that you've never been to. And you're like, where the hell do I eat that I've never been to? Try that place. Again, I'm not paying for this. Just, it's a good place.
And the french fries. French fries are really, 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 really good.
They are really, really, really
good. Get the dipping sauce when you...
Yes, the spicy one. The spicy Freddy sauce. Okay, let's go to a ghost story. Hi, you're on the air.
So I was about 12 years old. And my grandfather owns properties around town. Not in the best neighborhoods. They're mainly in kind of not good neighborhoods. But so mainly whenever we get new tenants, my grandfather likes to save as much money as possible. So a lot of the times we would go in and get it ready for whoever's going to be moving in next, whoever's going to be coming in. So we were getting it over, getting it ready for the new tenants. It just so happened that the neighbor next door had died recently, and he had been living there for 40 years or so, because my grandparents used to live in the home a long time ago in the 80s. So they've lived in every home they've owned. So that was their neighbor, and so they knew him. So as we were getting our unit, our home ready for new tenants, the family of the man who died was getting the home ready to sell. So the men had just finished painting that house, and my grandfather went and was talking to them like he always does, talking to people. And he went to go talk to these painters about maybe coming over and painting the house and see how much it would cost inside and out. So we're talking, and I'm loading up our truck because the sun is setting and it's getting dark. And so I'm looking up, and I see that the house over has a floodlight, one of those old floodlights it literally beams up, whatever, like it's so bright. So I could see inside the home because they had the windows all open because they had just finished painting and they were waiting for it to dry. So I could see inside the entire home. And I remember all the hairs on the back of my neck standing up. I was 12 years old, and I remember seeing a figure of a man made completely out of dust. It seemed like he was made out of dust. I could see right through him, but I can tell it was a figure of a man because of how it was shaped. And I watched it walk from the back of that house all the way to the front, up the stairs, and that was it. Never seen anything else. In my entire life, haven't seen another ghost. Haven't seen anything like that, but I swear that was a real ghost. And I struggled with death for a long time around that time. Also, I was struggling with the thought of death as a young teen, realizing, oh my gosh, one day, you know. And it kind of gave me peace of mind. I know that sounds strange, but it gave me peace of mind because it made me realize that there is something on the other side. There is another life. And, you know, it's just something I wanted to share with y'all. I have no reason to lie, no reason to waste my time calling this number, but I just wanted to share the story. Hopefully it gets somebody's attention. So thank you.
Thank you for sharing that experience with us. And sometimes, it's nice to get that reassurance. And sometimes when you have those experiences, it just kind of puts some things into perspective for you.
You know, that was a good story because so often it's got some dark thing that happened or they're traumatized forever. But I liked that it was like, and I found peace in that.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting that. That was kind of a nice twist at the end of that story.
It was. I did enjoy that as well. Thank you for calling and giving us, you know, your thoughts on that whole thing. Just, it was a good one. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person, EPP, sign up. at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories and help keep our program on the air. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.